Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, how well do you understand the global nature of your mind and its connection to evolution? Are we connected in a bigger way? Well, we are. We're going to find out more about how that works and what's up in our global minds. And to do so, we're going to speak with the author again. We've had him on the show before. The author of The Global Mind and the Rise of Civilization, The Quantum Evolution of Consciousness. And so we are speaking with Carl Johan Kallmann. Carl, welcome back to Energy Stew.
Thank you, Peter. It's good to be back on your stew, in your stew, I guess. Yes.
Well, we're all in the stew together because that's the global mind, is a big
it
stew.
Is. And who's stirring the pot, you might say?
Well, that's the point. I mean, we don't know.
Right, right.
But we know that it's being stirred in very particular ways.
Yes, I think so.
Right. Well, you're a researcher and a writer on the history of this stew and how it reveals itself through history to where we are now, that we feel kind of lost in space. And perhaps we're supposed to.
Well, I agree. I mean, I think that must be a fairly prevalent feeling people have at this point out there in
right.
general, a feeling of being lost in space, yes.
Well, we're lost in the night, let's put it.
Yeah, exactly.
And the reason I'm saying that is because you've been, through the Mayan calendar, you've been able to track what's called baktuns, which are... different stages of consciousness.
Yes.
And that started over 5,000 years ago and has gone in particular waves of let's call it, I don't know, on and off, you know, day and night.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
And each day and night combination is a baktun, right?
Each day or night is a baktun in this so-called long count, so to speak.
Okay, so we're talking about something called a long count.
Yeah.
A lot of people thought because the Mayan calendar was going to end several years ago, but it really carries on. We're just in a new baktun.
Yeah.
And a baktun is B-A-K-T-U-N. I don't know where that word comes from, but it represents the new epoch, the stage that we've moved into.
Yeah. At least it's an aspect of the new stage that we have moved into. And yeah, it's a Mayan word that refers to a time period of a little bit less than 400 years. Two baktuns, you might say, forms a cycle, a day-night cycle. It's part of waves. It describes time periods in waves that are you know, just continuing to run, essentially, like waves, electromagnetic waves would go on forever. So does this wave. It's just that the time span is very unusual. It's much longer than anything we have been used to. I think it's a fascinating aspect of the whole this that, you know, we we are talking about certain waves. Our science is based very much on electromagnetic waves, and sometimes now more recently there's been discovered the gravitation waves and but usually the wavelengths of these waves are you know in a reasonable range of our own world, so to speak. But here we're talking about wavelengths that are way longer than anything in that we usually talk about. And so it opens the question that there are waves that are creating our reality that have never been studied because they simply have been outside of the range of what our scientists are able to detect at the current time. And I think that is exactly what we're dealing here. It's a kind of a wave that's been so long wavelengths that it's outside of what our science has covered. But nonetheless, I think it's tremendously important.
Well, you've been a scientist about this with the Mayan calendar, understanding what these waves represent in the history of our civilization, and to show how, as we go through each wave, it has particular characteristics that have shaped society.
Yes.
And I think that's important to understand where we are now, because when we know our history and we see how these waves, these patterns, have brought us here, we know the pattern that we're in, and then we can understand where we're at.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. I think we have enough knowledge about these waves today to see a lot of the things that are going on and understand them in our current world. It's always, you know, when you go into the Mayan calendar and study the waves that formed the basis of their calendar system, it's always you have to judge, you know, what level of complexity do you want to go into, because it can just come into be extremely complex and multifaceted and so forth. And I want to avoid that. But I think it's also important to point out that this long count that we initially mentioned here, the one with the Bakhtun wavelength, that this is one of nine major waves, and they are acting in parallel. And each one of them has some kind of an effect on our lives and the society at large, and I would say the universe at large. And so,
well, you're bringing together two different kinds of patterns. One are these epochs that are a little less than 400 years that represent day and night and day and night and day and night, and how civilization has shown that we're in days when civilizations have risen, and at night they implode and fall apart and then, I guess, regroup again another close to 400 years later in new ways. And you've also mapped the pattern of our minds and how our minds have evolved. And I found that very important in terms of these waves, in terms of these long count epochs. The mind, we can show the evolution by how the mind recognizes itself, recognizes the world through itself. Mm-hmm. In terms of writing, in terms of language, in terms of art, in terms of the way that it structures life around it, and I found that was really important, because when we see, you know, one of the easier illustrations in your book is when the world of art discovered perspective. Before that, art never had any perspective. So the human mind didn't know how to see perspective in a way that it can interpret it into art.
Mm-hmm.
And so to put ourselves back into a time when we didn't see, we didn't understand, our minds couldn't relate to perspective, so that we couldn't draw them. Nobody had any insight to be able to draw them or paint them. Then all of a sudden they could. That shows that the mind all of a sudden is structured differently. And that keeps happening through our evolution, that the mind finds new ways to identify life. And so that gives us hope for ourselves.
Yeah. Well, I'm very glad that you have recognized this, and I think it's an important thing to see this. The very fact to begin with that our mind has a history is really not something we are taught in schools or so.
Yeah, we just think we're getting smarter. But in many ways,
right.
We're not also, because society is really crippled right now.
That's right. I agree with you. And as you mentioned earlier, the long count has now gone into a night. And, that means, one of the things that means is that there is a decrease in rationality. And whatever you think about the various politicians and so forth that are acting on the U.S. Presidential candidate scene, I think overall you can really talk about a loss of rationality when you're watching it, without going into any specific persons or details. But it's not the same ration. Only a couple of years ago, before this downturn into a night, I would say that people would have been acting more rationally than we see happening now.
No, but if they did, then day wouldn't be over. We just concluded an epoch of day.
Yeah.
That and through history, these days have become self-destructive, and we're in that time now where day is actually imploding because of corruption and greed and something missing in our thinking that allows us to have leadership that's missing a few links.
Yeah.
And on every level in the world, certainly science, and there are a lot of inspired people, and I think those inspirations come from a deeper place that represents the night that we're going into.
Yeah.
And can you elaborate a little bit on how our consciousness is shifting from this epoch of day that we've been in, and how we're going to have to experience it in the night in order to move forward?
Yeah, there are a couple of things that overall they both have consequences on a larger social global scale, because the mind is global. These changes that we're talking about here are really coming from a global mind, and which is more like, like a broadcasting central in the planet, that each one of us are receiving this mind shift that is going on a global scale. And then,
right, we're not taught that. We're not taught that our mind operates in larger patterning that's much more of a civilization pattern.
No. Right. We taught, generally speaking, that our brains are creating the mind, and that would be like saying that your television set would be creating the whatever comes up on the screen.
Right.
And that's a perfect analogy to this. Instead, we are sort of receivers. Now the frequencies which are coming in that we have tuned into, they are coming with new information, and so on a global scale we are changing our behavior. And and just to take an example, I mentioned that we are now entering a time when rationality is probably on its way down. And I was in Peru, and I think that's obvious when you look at American politics. But I was just in Peru in a couple of months ago and saw some commentator, old school commentator who commentated on the presidential election that they have had there. And he was saying the same thing, that the rationality is going on its way out. The candidates were just sort of offending each other and not discussing rationally any issues and these kind of things. And I'm just saying that if you were in Europe, you would see similar kind of things. People acting before thinking and so forth.
That's so true. And yet, let's speak about something that gives us hope.
Yes, let's turn it the other way around. It is, you know, we've heard a lot in people saying recently that don't listen to your mind, listen to your heart, and the mind then is now becoming less powerful, and so it doesn't hold us in the kind of grip. It hasn't been open for a long time, and now we're into a time when we can listen to our hearts, because the mind, the frequencies that the global mind is sending to us are changing, and so that would be. That would be an aspect of the positive thing. And I would say also that, you know, much of the national structures of the world have been based on this day in the long count. And they are weakening at the current time. And in the best of cases, it creates an opening for global collaboration. And then, of course, there is also always like a risk side of all these kind of things. So I think, you know, whether things turn good or bad because of these changes that are in the material that we're receiving, that would depend very much on ourselves and very much on the intentions that we have for the world that is to come. And it's important not to, you know, to succumb to any kind of pessimism, because these changes also provide for great possibilities of opportunities also for the future.
Well, I think what's happening is that society is showing its worst in terms of the day, in terms of the rational structure that we've created in the world that has become corrupt and lost its way.
Yeah.
And what's frightening is that it looks like everything's going to go bad. And yet it's only really turning us toward the right direction.
Yeah.
But we don't know how to see it yet. And
right.
So we have to learn to go within and trust and find our hearts and just, you know, live in that understanding of process.
Yeah, very well said, yeah.
Now let's talk about the waves, because this is very important in terms of why we can say what we're saying.
Yeah.
Is because the sixth wave has been there for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And now we're in, you know, we've kind of catapulted to a ninth wave. And this is very important. And I know this is a lot of your work now, is promoting this ninth wave.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, right. So coming back to this fact that there are waves in the Mayan calendar system, and they each have in common that they go through these peaks and valleys, and which I have called days and nights. But there are nine major waves that have created the universe, as far as we know. And so this is the reason that, you know, the number nine is considered as a number of completion in many different traditions in the world. And it certainly is a holy number in many different traditions. So, for instance, the Maya, they would build their pyramids in nine levels, nine terraces. That was their main way of building their pyramids. Then, if you go to the Far East, you will find that from about the same time, there's a lot of pagodas that are built in nine steps, in nine terraces, this was a perception people had in a long time ago that the universe was built into nine different levels, nine different worlds, and different kind of expressions. And what I then have found is that these different nine waves are levels of the mind, and each one of them is developed by a wave movement. And the long count that we just mentioned, and what this particular book that the Global Mind of the Rise of Civilization talks about, is just one of these waves. It's a very significant wave because it is the wave that brought a civilization to begin with. It is the wave that brought a structured mind to begin with. But then it's not the end. So on top of this sixth wave have been activated since three other waves. And each of those brings a different kind of a mind. So there is a great deal of variation in what these waves bring. And people under their influence will be created in new ways. They will think differently. They will perceive the world through another filter, you might say. And so you might say that the long count, the sixth wave that started 5,000 years ago, it basically brought the basic civilization, city life and pyramids and a lot of things that would come with this. And it was also brought a society that was quite unequal in how it worked. Typically, they would bring monarchies and slavery and not any kind of equality. Equality, in any sense of the modern world, only comes with the seventh wave, and so which was activated in 1755, and then that changes people. So around that time, people started to get rid of monarchies, people started to abolish slavery, people, all kinds of things were happening that to make people more equal as human beings. It's also changed the world in that the industrial world began. The shift in the frame of the mind that occurred when people started to download this seventh wave favored another way of relating to the material reality, and so the whole world of industrialism came up, the industrial
right, now
revolution.
This is where we've come from recently, seventh wave, and we've jumped now, you know, and it's also the mind is not just our society. Actually, the mind is the planet, and we're hooked into a deeper core of the planet that holds these higher vibrations also. So that's being released to us and available to us also. And so, you know, the entire universe is shifting gears now, coming much more into this ninth wave. It's hard to talk about what comes after a ninth wave, but let's just go with it.
Yeah, right. No, I think that nothing really comes after except that we may deepen our go deeper and deeper into the particular mind that the ninth wave brings, which is a unity mind, so to speak, is one that doesn't separate between people, or it's a world where
right.
Oneness is the the word.
Yeah, good.
It's oneness.
And this is, it's so fascinating that we're in that wave now, and you know it has to grow in us, and
yeah,
and we have to come into more realization of it. But you're helping that happen.
Yeah,
and
I hope
you know,
so.
And
yeah.
Well, you are, and I think this book is really important. Global mind, the global mind, and the rise of civilization. We're getting nearer to the end of the show, so I want to make sure people understand how they can connect to your book and a website. So, can you give us that information?
Oh, of course. So, my website is kalleman.com. kalleman.com, and the book is called The Global Mind and the Rise of Civilization, and my own name, Carl Kalleman, is the author, and you will find that at Amazon or Barnes & Noble, or in principle any bookstore that it's available to order if they don't have it.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, this is, you know, hopefully we'll be speaking again, because, you know, your work is really important, and more and more people are going to attune to it because we need to.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And you're working on a new book that is called The Nine Waves of Creation, so that will really help us understand it even better.
Yes, that book will be coming out in December, and I'm doing the final edits on it right now, and that gives a bigger picture, you might say, than the book we have just talked about. The purpose of the global mind of the rise of civilization is to really show help us understand the past. And how the past civilizations are connected to the evolution of the mind, and how that is connected to the global mind. But
that's very clear. But we have to end the show.
Okay. But I just want to say that will go much more into the future and what is happening now, because it's all connected. That's the takeaway from this. It's all connected.
Thank you, Carl Kalleman.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
This is wonderful talking with you.
Thank you so much.
Sure. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, H-E-A-R-T, river.org, or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thank you so much for listening.